I think you got it right the first time. I think every lead pastor has that.
Well, good morning. We have had a marvelous time this week. We've had opportunities to meet with so many of you. We had meetings with different ministry groups, leadership. We had meet and greets on Friday night and on Saturday morning. And so I'm trying my best to remember your names. But it's been marvelous, and we're just very appreciative for all of the care that this church has given over to finding a leader for your church. Yesterday, I had the opportunity to experience Chesapeake's best. I went to the Jubilee, and I sweated my socks off. But I had heard word while we were at the Saturday morning meet and greet that there was going to be a treasure hunt going on. So I thought, oh, this is wonderful. I'm glad to hear that they do that. And then later on, there we are at Jubilee, and we saw Gene. Where are you, Gene? Yeah. And he had a testament that he had led two gals to the Lord and prayed for healing. Three. Yeah, come on. So it was so exciting to see that this church gets out into the community and doesn't just represent the church, but that you're out there representing Jesus. You're his hands and feet on the earth. And so I was very grateful for that and blessed to experience that through you guys. So God bless you today. Enjoy the message. It's going to be wonderful.
Thank you, hon. We really have enjoyed getting to know some of you, hearing your hearts and your concerns, and we want to do more of that. We're hoping, like we said in some of our meet and greets, to have a personal time of communion with each of you, hear your hearts, hear where your vision is, where you want to go. We believe God has something great. Amen. Something really powerful is cooking in the atmosphere. So I don't want to hold you too long because the Baptists will beat us to the restaurant again. You know, in Beckley, that's real. There's only like three restaurants. You got to get there. But here, it's okay. So I, if you'll allow me to minister something this morning, I've really prayed and asked the Lord, and where I would naturally go is not where the Lord took me. Isn't that the way it always is? And so I felt the Lord speak to me to deal with you about capacity building. Uh-oh, our layout didn't turn out very good on your screen. Uh-oh, they didn't have the right font. So that, excuse whatever it looks like back there, because it's not going to be right. The fonts are different. So anyway, I want to minister today on capacity building, and I want to talk to you about some areas that I believe God would speak to us. One thing I've learned about the Lord, and you've learned about the Lord, is that God doesn't just enter something. He fills it. When he came to the tabernacle, when he entered into the temple of the Old Testament, he didn't just enter it. He filled it. Amen. They were unable to stand in his presence. David said it this way. He says, my cup runneth over. So when God gives you something, he doesn't just come a little bit up. He fills it till overflowing. God fills it. Jesus did his first miracle. And when he asked for the six water pots, he didn't ask for half-filled water pots or fourth-filled water pots. He wanted water pots that were filled with water. Our God is a God that fills. And whatever room you give God, he will fill that room. The Bible says this in Ephesians 1:23, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Fullness means to fill with capacity, to full capacity. And I just want to start off by putting that emphasis on this morning's message that God is a God of ultimate capacity. God is a God of fullness. Capacity means the ability to receive and to hold and absorb. It is to fill a space with the most it can hold. And so what I've seen happen is we pray for revival, and we ask God for this overflowing flow of his power and his spirit, and then we offer him a 12-ounce cup. If you give God 12 ounces, that's all you're going to have. You give him a 44-ounce cup, you'll get a 44-ounce filling. You give him a swimming pool, you'll get a swimming pool. You give him an ocean, he'll fill an ocean. If you give God an hour of your time, he'll fill it. If you give God a day of your life, he'll fill it. If you give God your life, he'll fill it. Whatever you give God, he'll fill. And so we need to understand that's his nature, that's his desire, is to fill whatever capacity that you would give to him, he'll fill it to overflowing. You didn't learn very good. If you say amen a lot, you get out a lot earlier. When I pause, that's when you yell, amen. We need to understand as well our ability to increase our capacity. I remember when I first got saved and gave my life to the Lord, I would kneel down next to my pastor at 7 o'clock morning prayer. He would pray an hour, and I would pray 3 minutes. Because in 3 minutes, I had prayed everything I needed to pray. I didn't know how to pray. I had very little capacity. Then I would go to reading my Bible. I could read about 10 minutes, and I'd fall asleep. Oh, look at you guys. You're so righteous and holy. It took a while. Now today, I can tell you, I can read all day long and just absorb it. But at the time, I had very little capacity. About 10 minutes into a sermon, and I was spaced out wondering who was winning the football game. My capacity was small. 2 songs, and I was done. And so, but the more you're in contact with God, the more you're around His presence, and your capacity can increase. You could even ask God to increase your capacity. And that's what I want to challenge this congregation to do today. If you ask God to increase your capacity, I want to tell you something, He will do it. He will do it. And so I want you to begin to ask God to increase you. And then I need you to expect more. Expect God to fill your marriages and to fill your homes. Expect God to move in your finances. Expect God to move in your ministry, but you have to ask God, enlarge me and increase me. That's the story of Jabez. Let me just read it quickly to you. It says this in 1 Chronicles 4, verse 9. His mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, increase my capacity, that your hand would be with me and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. So God granted that request. God will grant your request if you ask him for an increasing of your capacity. Jabez got the revelation that I'm hoping you'll catch this morning, is that you can change your capacity. You can change it, okay? You do have options. Everybody say options. You don't always have to be the guy that's causing everybody else pain. You don't always have to be the one with your marriage on the brink of divorce. You don't always have to be the one that's run down and sick. You don't always have to be the one with your crazy kids that are out of control. I know where we've got to go in the future weeks. Jesus said it this way. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. Some translations say rooms. I like to say it this way. In the kingdom of God, there are many options. And so when you serve God, you serve a God that gives you options. Freedom gives us options. Freedom gives us options. Real options only happen in your life when you're free in Christ. The longer you serve the devil, the fewer options you'll have. Is that right? You start off with the option to party, but before long, the party has you. And your options narrow down. Addicted people have very few options in their lives. But when you're free, you have many, many options. People that have abundance have options. People that have poverty have very little options. The freedom of Christ gives us options. Suicide begins when people believe they have no options. The truth is, there's always an option. Amen. The truth is, there's always hope. You can partner with God and the Holy Spirit at any time and say, God, enlarge my capacity. I don't want to be the one that causes pain. I want to be enlarged. I want to be able to bless others. I want to be a strength. The devil is a liar. No, you're going to make me preach. I'm trying to be mellow. In my Father's house are many options. Now, having said that, I want to read another story to you. I'm going to shift gears a few times, and then we'll bring it all together. Luke, the 14th chapter, is a great, great story, and it begins in verse 16 where I'd like to start. It says, then he said to him, a certain man gave a great supper and invited many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, come, for all things are now ready. But they with one accord began to make excuses. How many of you know excuses and responsibility can't go together? How many of you know excuses and excellence don't coexist? So the first one says to him, well, I've bought a piece of ground, and I must go see it. I ask you to have me excused. And another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm going to test them. I ask you to have me excused. Still another said, I've married a wife, and everybody knows I can't come. I'm sorry. So that servant came and reported these things to his master. Now watch this. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly to the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in here the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind. And the servant said, master, it is done as you have commanded. Now watch these words. And still there is capacity. Still we have capacity here. Then the master said to the servant, go out into the highways and hedges. Compel them to come in that my house might be filled. For I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper. A parable is designed to reveal a truth in a way that makes it more understandable. Okay, for I know we have scholars in here, but for the younger converts, when God gives you a parable or a story, he's trying to give you a truth that you might not understand. The story is designed to help you understand it. In this story, the man represents God. And God's intention was that his house be filled. That was his intention. He wanted his house to be filled to capacity. That's why the servant said there's still more room, because he was looking for capacity. Now, I want you to notice that he originally invited 3 different families, just 3 people, 3 families. One guy with the land, one guy with oxen, and another guy with a brand new wife. When these 3 could not come, obviously they had said they would, or they wouldn't have had to make excuses. I want you to notice from that moment on, the house never did get filled. It never got filled. So God says, go quickly and invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind, and bring them in here. I have something prepared for them, so go get them, bring them in. And they did that, and he says, but there's still plenty of room. Here's the story. You can invite in the impoverished and the broken in spirit, which we should do, the poor, the maimed. These are people that are broken. They're broken in their hearts. They're good people. God loves them. He invites them to his house. But there's no capacity in them. You invite in people that can't walk out their faith, the lame. There's no capacity in them. You bring in people that have no vision. There's no capacity in them. So the house can't be filled. You can fill a church with people that can't walk out their walk with God. They can't live it out right. They can't see beyond tomorrow. They have no vision for their church. That house might have 100 people in it, but it's empty as far as God's concerned. Amen, amen. We haven't even got to the hard stuff yet. Hold on. Let's talk for a moment about these 3 people that would have filled the whole house. Just 3 would have filled the whole house. The first one was one that had bought a piece of land. He was a land possessor. So he is the picture of a person who is able to oversee something and to possess a territory. So you literally can come in and possess a city. You can possess a region. Your largeness, your dynamic can take spiritual authority over an area. When you land on the island where the gathering is at, you can take possession of the entire island. Just by a man landing there named Christ. This is a land possessor. He's somebody that knows how to establish dominion. He knows how to take and occupy, not just drive the enemy out, but occupy the territory and set up new government. Okay, this is where, that's another sermon another time. That's important to occupy. When you find people that know how to occupy, to take dominion and set up God's kingdom and authority in a region, then you have a person that has capacity within them. The next person had 5 yoke of ox. This is a man who understood the power of plowing a field. These are plowing ox. That's why there was 5 of them. It's a picture of grace. 5 is the number of grace. These are ox that know how to pull a straight line through a hard territory. It doesn't matter if there's rocks, stones, snakes, or sticks. They will pull a line. They will pull straight. They will plow hard. And the reason they do it is because they're neutered. If you don't understand that, you can speak to Diaz right here on the front row. He'll explain all that after the service. Thank you, Diaz. Basically, they didn't get distracted. They were on focus. They weren't distracted by the other cows, the other ox. They stayed on target. They stayed on purpose. And they had a power to accomplish what God has spoken to their hearts. So they knew they had a field. These are people that know we have a field. It might not be an easy field. It might be a field that has problems or difficulties. But we will plow it straight. We have the grace of God to help us do what we could not do for ourselves, but we will pull straight, we will plow hard, we will make sure that this field becomes a productive field. That's the kind of people that God is looking for if you want to fill a house. The third one is a guy that married a wife. This is a picture of understanding intimacy. How many of you know a house that God wants to fill won't last long without intimacy? God created us to have the power and the blessing of being intimate. Now, intimacy is far more than just physical. To be intimate with somebody, it is a knowing. It is an understanding. It's a knowledge. So the more, you can't really become intimate with somebody if you don't really know their heart, know their life, know their spirit. So this is a picture of a people that spend time before God trying to find and understand his intimacy, but not only him, with others in a church. There's an intimacy that we have. We're not talking sexually here, okay? Just for anybody that might have a problem. We're talking about a knowledge, an understanding, a place where we create an environment for God to intercourse with us in such a way that we can become fruitful. Okay? So it's one of Satan's favorite strategies in any marriage or even in any church or any group is to destroy intimacy. Because once you lose the ability to communicate and talk and know one another, then you have to suffer in silence. And then you live an artificial life. And you can't tell anybody about your problems. Amen. So God created us to want a very close and personal relationship with us. He never intended us to be robotic creatures that just had this weird little thing. Worship is not about recited prayers and recited hymns. Worship is about a relationship with a Heavenly Father. So to fill God's house, you have to have a people that understand these dynamics. When these three people did not show up, it did not matter how many lame and blind and hurt people came, they could not fill the house. Then he said, go to the highways and whoever will. And the house never got filled. The point I'm talking about is capacity. If these three would have come, it would have been filled. Why? Because they had within them a capacity to understand how to take a land, how to function in purpose, and how to marry a thing and see it through to fruitfulness. Did I lose you right there? You with me? Donald following. You can get more done with these three type of people that understand this, that understand, let me break it down another way. They understand authority, they have an understanding and a revelation, and they have an intimacy. When you find those kind of people, God can fill a house. You got to say amen so I know you're with me. I'll have to keep working on this point. And I'm really ready to shift to the next one. Let me shift for a moment and I'll be back. There's a woman who is fussing with her potential mother-in-law. They're fussing a lot. She's not getting along with the mother-in-law of the man that she's with her, was going to be her mother-in-law. The guy she's getting ready to marry, it's his mama. And this mama is about to pull the relationship apart. So they come into the office, and here's the challenge. I want you to change your role. That's what you say to the lady that's getting ready to marry the guy. I want you from this time on, if that mother needs a ride to the store, I want you to offer her a ride. If that mother needs anything, I want you to give it to her. And at least three times a week, I want you to take a meal over to her house and just bless her with a meal. Well, the woman comes back. Why does it always have to be me that changes? Why do I always have to be the one? The answer is this. Because I want her to see you as an answer. Nobody runs away from an answer. As long as you're the problem, we got a problem. But when you become the answer to mama, she'll keep you around. People only reject people that they see as a problem. If they see you an answer, you always have a seat at the welcome table, right? Everybody say, Lord, make me an answer. Now, I've been with you guys for the last week or so, and there's some very weird, strange, and unique people in this house. We're a peculiar bunch. Yes, we are. This is a key. I hope you can see that from the back. I don't know if you can. It's not pretty. It's not something I'd hang on my wall and look at in a door. It has ups and downs on it, lots of ups and downs. It's got some deep cuts in it. It's got some what will look like wounds and dents and scars all in it. But it's broken in all the right places. You never appreciate the beauty of a key until you're trying to get through a door and you don't have it. It'll start to dawn on you in a minute. Once you find this door that God has challenged you to enter into, you're going to need a key to enter it. And when you don't have a key, you can't get in. Suddenly, you start to notice the value of that key. It's ups, it's downs, it's cuts, it's wounds. They all are so beautiful when you insert and you hear click. Everybody say click. 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 And you'll feel it in your life when you step into a relationship and it clicks. You'll feel it when you step into a ministry and it clicks. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And you also know when it's the wrong key. Amen. God wants you to this morning to discover why you're so weird. He wants you to discover why your life has been filled with ups and downs. He wants you to discover why he made you the way he made you. The personality skills and skill sets you have. The way you think. Your capacity has been being developed for many years. The cuts that you've embraced, the grinding you've gone through, the dents, the bumps, the struggles. Have you ever watched them make a key? They, and then they put it on that little grinder. Some of you are still there. So you feel like, man, get me off this thing. I'm not going to read it for the sake of time this morning, but Genesis 39, verses 1 through 6, and chapter, there's so much here. But Joseph's three brothers, it's the story of Joseph. Joseph's three brothers at first see him as a problem. When anybody sees you as a problem, or whenever you are a problem, life will take you down. Everybody say down. So they put him in a pit. His brothers put him down in a pit because he was looked to them as a problem. When people reject you, what they're doing is seeing you as a problem. So they saw his fancy coat and they determined that he was a real problem because he had something they didn't have. I have never had a hater that was doing better than me. People doing better than me seldom throw rocks at me. It's people, those that are below me, that see me as a problem to them having the blessing, that throw rocks. The Ishmaelites, who by the way are his cousins, this is a very dysfunctional family, they come by and they look down in the pit and they decide he's not a problem at all. He's an answer. We can sell him for money. And so whenever people see you as an answer, they lift you up. So now he comes up out of the pit because he's become an answer. Everybody in here say, Lord, make me an answer. So they take him and they sell him to Potiphar as an answer. As an answer. Potiphar needed somebody that could do what they said that he could do. So Potiphar pays money to have him because he's an answer. Now, a lot of you have been praying for money. And you don't need to pray for money anymore. You need to pray that God makes you an answer. The reason you go to a job interview is to show your boss that you're the answer to his problems. Once he determines that you can actually do what he needs done, he'll pay you money to do it. Let's keep moving. So Potiphar looks at him now as an answer. And because he's an answer, Potiphar causes him to be able to live in a big, nice house that he did not build. This is called favor. Amen. He's living in a blessing that he never worked for. God will give you, the Bible declares, houses that you did not build, vineyards that you did not grow, and opportunities that don't match your background, education, or resume. God will open doors. God will open doors. And so, but you have to become an answer. So stop looking for blessings and find a problem and then insert yourself and see if it clicks. That's what I'm doing. Right now. You'll no longer despise the dents and the cuts and the weird up and downs in me and my uniqueness if I can open a door for you. All of a sudden, I become an answer instead of a problem. Right? Look at your neighbor and say, you're about to open up something great for somebody. Now, as long as Potiphar saw Joseph as the answer, he got to stay in the house. But one day, Potiphar's wife fell in love with Joseph. Now Joseph's a problem. And where did he go? Down. Right straight back down into the prison. Amen. Whenever you're a problem, you go down. Whenever you're an answer, you go up. Always remember it. So now he's back down. But it's a good thing to know that somebody's problem is somebody else's answer. Amen. So now he's down there, and he can't allow. You got to realize, this guy's going through the ups and downs. He's in prison. He's down. He's up. He's down. He's going through it. But he is not going to allow somebody else's opinion of him to formulate his value. Huh? So Pharaoh has never met Joseph. He doesn't know anything about the brothers, all that drama, the pit. He doesn't know anything about Potiphar and Potiphar's wife and what they said about him. But Pharaoh has a problem. He can't interpret a dream. And he is looking for an answer. Well, through the series of events, those of you who don't know the story, there's a guy down in the prison called a cupbearer, and he gets lifted out of prison, and he's next to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh's struggling with this problem of having an answer that he needs, and this guy says, listen, when I was in prison, I met this guy down there who could tell you the dreams. He always had an answer for our problems. So Joseph, this guy in prison, he's got answers. So the Pharaoh says, go get Joseph. Now he's on his way back up. Are you following the story? Now, see, it's the ups and downs of that key. It was not fun to be in a prison in those days. It wasn't no air conditioning, regular food and all that. And so he'd been through some rough years there. He's going up and down. But I want to tell you, some of you have been through some rough years, but God's getting ready to send for you. Amen. You've been surrounded by a lot of issues, but God's about to snatch you up. Amen. Do some good things in your life. So here's something you have to learn in the story. The famine that they're going to face is a blessing. Amen. Because without the famine, Joseph would have died in prison. But the famine created a need for the Pharaoh to have an answer. And that gave Joseph an opportunity to come out and express his gifts before the king. You didn't quite get it in a minute. We have a king. He's going to call on you. You're going to get a chance to come up and express your gifts. It's coming. Proverbs says a man's gift will make, what's the other word for that? Capacity. Will create a capacity in him. Now listen carefully, because you got to hear this, church. God is going to put you in some situations where they will see you as an answer. Don't talk them out of it. Well, I don't know, man. That's above my pay grade. Zip it. Don't talk them out of it. God will raise you up. When Joseph heard that the Pharaoh was calling for, and the Bible says he shaved while he was running to him. Okay, he didn't discuss it. He didn't say, well, I don't know. I'm smelling bad. I'm looking bad. I don't feel right. You know, I'm off a little bit today. It's not a good day. No. He simply ran towards him. He was not intimidated because, you got to understand, he had never been in a palace in his whole life. He had no training for it. He didn't know the protocol of how you enter in before a Pharaoh. He didn't know he didn't know none of that. All he knew is, I've been cut in the right places. I've been cut in all the right places. It's been painful. It's been hard. The preparation's been tough. But all these ups and downs has made me a key. Are you listening? This is what God's been doing in your life. This is what God's doing in your life. The coat of many colors that he had as a child was training to wear a palace robe. The running of Potiphar's house was training to run a nation. God had been training him, moving him up and down. If Potiphar's wife hadn't have done what she'd done, he'd have never met the cupbearer. He'd have never got to the Pharaoh. Sometimes your ups and downs are God-designed. And you have to allow God to cut and grind and make you into a key, to make you into an answer. So Joseph now understands what I want you to understand. Everything he lost along the way, he was supposed to lose. You've lost some things. It was all part of your preparation. It was part of what God was doing in your life. Because if you would have kept those things, you would have settled for less than what God has for you. Amen. Stop crying over what you lost. God allowed you to lose it because you didn't need it. And God's going to give you what you need to go to the next level. Amen. Amen. Somebody give the Lord a praise. It'll be all right. We'll start tying this together. In elementary school, we teach children how to add. When you get a little older, they teach you this thing called algebra. Addition shows you the problem. The problem is looking for an answer. Algebra is an answer looking for a problem. I lost a few of you because we weren't no good in math anyway. We liked PE and art. Amen. You cannot be successful as long as you think you're a problem looking for an answer. You have to realize you're an answer looking for a problem. You'll never be a soul winner as long as you're a problem looking for an answer. You have to realize I am the answer and I'm looking for a problem. That's what a treasure hunt's all about. Are you following what I'm saying? Somebody shout, I am the answer. That was very weak. Shout it. I am the answer. There you go. Amen. Everything this church has been through, everything your marriage has been through, everything your life has been through is practice. It's God developing you and making you into a key that he can insert into a region and unlock it. You hear? I feel the Holy Ghost now. Don't make me prophesy. All of that other stuff was beneath you. Wasn't bad, wasn't ugly, it was God designed. It was part of the plan of God's magnificent, omnipresent understanding. He is above all things, knows all things. Before your mama and daddy even knew each other, he knew you. Amen. You got to get a hold of that. I hope mom and dad enjoyed it, but he knew you. You guys are tight bunch. We're going to have to come back, deal with you. You just all are nuts. I can't believe he said it. Yeah, this is light. Wait till I mess up. This is kind of intentional. Amen. Practice, all this practice you've been through, all of this stuff you've been through is preparation to increase your capacity. Because what you've been through has made you have grace, love, power, authority, dominion, understanding. Right? And that's what God's doing. Because he's trying to raise up a people that he can insert into a region that he can give influence to save a nation. And God knows our nation needs a saving right now. And God's looking for a people. It doesn't have to be, you know, so many times we talk about mega churches. And mega churches have their places. I'm not beating that up. But what we need is individuals that God has made into keys. People that can link together and know one another and get shoulder to shoulder and believe God for something great. Amen? And it's just that's kind of the way the kingdom works. It's like like if I went to school today to become an airplane pilot, I don't know how to do it. So they'd sit me in a classroom and I would learn knowledge. It really doesn't mean a whole lot, but I'm going to get it down well enough to pass the test. Okay? It's not till they put me in the plane and I take off, the knowledge now becomes understanding. Whoa, now I understand. Whoa, now I see what they were saying. Now knowledge becomes understanding. Okay? And as I teach that to the next person, the knowledge becomes revelation and wisdom. And it moves into wisdom now. And so there's something about you participating, you sharing with others. I promise you, our teachers in here, those that are doctors and teachers, they know more than their students because wisdom starts to flow through them. Even themselves, as they're teaching, they go, wow, I never even thought of that. That's really good. It's true, isn't it? You're just teaching, all of a sudden, man, that was really good. You feel wisdom come. It's true. It's the way it works. And so that's what God's been doing in this church. He's taking us from knowledge to understanding into revelation. And he wants us to be a key that he can unlock a door with. And those wounds and those hurts, you don't have to be ashamed of them. You don't have to just blurt them out to everybody either. Had one kid stand up, you know, he's about 20 years old. I was in prison 17 years. We knew he was lying. He was only 20 years old. You don't have to make it bigger than it is. Just be you. All of us have got a few wounds. All of us, but that's God preparing us. That's God giving us capacity so that when others come in and we recognize their wound, we can unlock their key. We can unlock their lives. We can help them find an answer. We can take them from a small place to a large place. That's what a door is. It opens and brings you into a larger opportunity. David said, salvation is an open door. It causes me to come into a large place. And so this is what's so beautiful. We have options. Everybody say that with me one more time. In this house, God's looking for people that can possess a region. In their prayer, we're talking about prayer here. They can possess a region. They can come and pray, and they can actually bring a dominion, a spiritual dominion into an area. God's looking for that. God's looking for people that can plow straight because everything doesn't go the way you want it to go. Every once in a while you hit a rock or a stump or something and you got it, but we'll keep a steady plow by the grace of God. We won't look to the left or the right. We just plow. We just pull for his kingdom's sake. And then God's looking for a people that know how to give birth to things through intimacy. Through an intimacy with God, with one another, we know how to birth things. God's wanting you to understand today that he's been working all this time to make you an answer. To make you an answer. You're here today because you're an answer. That's why you're sitting in here. That's why God brought you out. You could have been anywhere. Amen. But God brought you here today. Capacity is always the issue. How large is the church? Not in numbers, in heart. How large is the church? Will you bow your heads with me for a moment? Father, we thank you that you're a God that when we ask you to enlarge us, you hear our cries. And you release to us that very thing. You will extend our territories. You will help us be larger people, that we can bless our children and our children's children, that we can bless our places of employment, our city, our region. Lord, we thank you that you create capacity within us to be able to receive you and revelation from heaven and understanding of the Holy Spirit, that we might be able to walk in a place of dominion in such a way that when people come to the altar, there's an honor and a dominion that causes sickness to flee, causes deliverance to come and free people that feel like there's no options, and suddenly they realize they're in a room filled with options. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you that you are building this church. You've always been building this church, and you will continue to build it. Amen. I don't know everyone in here today. I hope I never get to know everybody, because I hope there's always new people here. But you'd say, Pastor Ray, today, I really do feel like I'm running out of options, man. I've been trying and trying. I've been trying. I seem to get over and I fall down again. I just keep messing up, and I know it's me. I know it's me. I want to change in my life. I'm like that Jabez guy. God, help me. I don't always be the one that causes all this trouble and pain that just seems to be around me. God, help me. Increase my capacity. Take all of these ups and downs in my life and make them for a reason. Help me find where I click. That all begins when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord. When you say, God, forgive me of my sins. Now, we've all, not all of us, but most of us in this room have done that. And it's such a beautiful experience as suddenly you come into a world with options. Little testimony, just very quickly. I cheated to get through high school. Not because I was dumb, because I was lazy. I was a far cry from anything that you would expect today. I would refuse to give an oral speech because I was so fearful and intimidated. I literally jumped out the second story window of the high school to get away from it. Never knowing that I would stand before hundreds of thousands of people and feel at ease and a grace of God in my life. Never knowing that I would travel to 114 nations of the world, stand before kings and queens and royalty and all kinds of people. Never knowing any of that. I was from Winslow High School. You know, the old song, standing on the corner in Winslow, that's where I lived. But God opened options to me that I could have never opened to myself. No way. I would have never known. Even this here today, I never even considered Chesapeake, but God opened a door. God has a way. You're sitting there in your seat and you'd say, Pastor, I need some options. I'm very tired. I'm very weary. I'm worn out. I've been doing this a long time and I just need God to touch me. I need God to help me. Friend, it would be my honor and my privilege to pray with you this morning. I won't embarrass you. I won't give you the microphone and make you say anything to anybody. I just simply want to include you in a prayer where we say, Jesus, help us, forgive us of our sins. Give me options, Lord. Let me enter into your kingdom. If that's your heart and that's your request, would you lift your hand as a sign of surrender and just set it up and back down? I see this hand. I see this hand. Hands over here on this side. Hands in the front. God bless you. Beautiful young ladies, thank you. You just lift it to the Lord. You're not lifting it to me. You're lifting it to the Lord. Lift it up high and set it back down. Anyone else? God has options for you. God bless you on this side. Oh, I love the children. They're so responsive. They don't have all the filters and the reasons why we can't do it. They just respond. Amen. God will restore families. He'll restore. God's not a God of, look at me for a minute. He's not just a God of prosperity. He's a God of abundance. It's a whole nother level. God will heal you in more than physical ways. He'll heal you in all kind of ways. God wants to touch our lives. Look, can we stand this morning? I know we're on a time scale here and I need to hurry up. But this part here is just too important. This is what it's all about to me. This, all the rest of this is to come to this place where people can respond to God. Amen. I forget that we don't have live music. I was looking around to see what the singers were going to sing. Strike up the band. Amen. Then let's do it this way because we're in a bit of a hurry. Will you grab one another's hands? I know it makes you feel weird. That's another rule you need to learn. Whenever I'm in the house, sit by people you like. Because I might make you hold their hand. What are we doing, Pastor? We're linking our faith together. That's all we're doing. We're linking our hearts together. We're saying we're with you in this thing. And we're just all going to say that prayer together. If you raised your hand, I want you just to really speak it from your heart, and God's going to hear you. And the reason I'm helping you pray is because sometimes people just don't know what to say. So let's say it together. Lord Jesus, forgive us of our sins. We accept you today as our Lord and Savior. We no longer serve the devil. We serve you, Lord. And from this time on, we're going to live for you in Jesus' name. Just one moment. Now, devil, I rebuke you. You have absolutely no authority or power. Your darkness is broken and light does enter. We release the presence of a living God to fill their hearts morning, noon, and night, fill their dreams, fill their lives, fill their marriages, touch their lives. Turn it around in Jesus' name. We rebuke you. You have no right. Back up and release them into the kingdom. They are now God's people, and I commission and release the Lord's blessing upon their lives. I decree a blessing, angelic protection, and the goodness and love and mercy of God to follow them all the days of their lives. In Jesus' mighty name. Can we give the Lord a big praise? Come on. Give him a big praise. Give him a big praise. I don't know, everyone. If you raised your hand, please let us know. Talk to us, an usher, somebody in the back. Don't leave the building without telling somebody what God did for your life. Just say, I was one of those guys who raised my hand. That's all you got to say. And we'll just love on you and help you. Is that all right? Amen. I don't know what God has, but I know it's great. And now I have to turn the service over to Pastor Bill, or I'll start preaching again. Come on, Pastor Bill.